Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM Radio. We're here with my fabulous show engineer, Eric Ryder. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's another gorgeous, glorious day here in the Puget Sound, so hard to complain.
Would you say abundant sunshine?
I would say that it's abundant sunshine. Yes, indeed.
It is abundant sunshine. So we have another call-in for free advice show today.
Wonderful.
Yes, and we have lots of goodies to give away to our listeners who call in. Listeners who call in with a question get a free bag of Bitto Love treats, which are wonderful training treats. I use them for training, made by Oberto Sausage Company.
So you know they got to be good.
Yes. Oh, boy. You can get Bitto Love treats at Bartels, QFC, among other places. You can visit BittoLove.com for more information. They're great for training because they're easy to break apart into small pieces and have that, you know, jerky, beef jerky smell made with all human quality ingredients. So we feel good about feeding them to our dogs. Also have some biscuit type cookies that smell good enough to eat as well, made by Metau Dog, which is, you can find those in some smaller pet stores around the area, including Bark Natural Pet Care in Ballard, The Barking Lounge.
One of our fabulous sponsors.
Yes, advertisers in South Lake Union, Fido and Scratch in Mount Baker neighborhood, Urban Beast right across from REI.
Another one of our fabulous sponsors.
Yes, among many other little neighborhood pet shops. So check out those for a good cookie, Metau Dog. They smell good enough to eat. I think I've actually had people. So I was at the Terrier event last weekend.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was fun. Very fun.
It was a real tear.
Yes, it was. We actually had some kids, like teenage boys come up, young teenage boys come up to the booth, and they were looking at the treats, and they were daring each other to eat them.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, this is gross. And so we each took one of them, the Bitto Love and the Metau Dog, because I had those both available.
For some of these treats, that would be a dare, but these two sound like,
well,
they would actually be really good.
They ate them, and then they were like, these are good! And they and they actually grabbed more and then like ran away. So
they didn't want people to see them eating dog
There's
treats.
There's a testimonial for you. Yeah, good enough to eat. So feel free to call in today if you have a question, any dog-related question whatsoever, especially training behavior or nutrition related, but I'll take any question. So give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we would love to hear from you and hear about your dogs. So I also have...
Or even if you don't have dogs, but you're thinking about getting dogs.
Yeah, I have a lot of people actually ask me about... They're sort of in the planning phases, getting a dog in a few months, and either need help choosing a breed or want to know how to best prepare for it. It's a great, great thing to do, especially for people who haven't ever had a dog before. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a, you know, they want to do it right.
Which, these are good questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I also have some announcements today. Well, this weekend is the Furry 5K, which is a big Seattle Animal Shelter event, 10th annual Furry 5K Fun Run and Walk, which is this weekend, Sunday, June 7th in Seward Park at 10 a.m. For you can register day of race between 8:15 and 9:45. You can just show up and register. There's a run, 5K run, which is timed, and then there's a fun, leisurely walk after the race. It starts about 10 minutes apart. And if you want to if you and your dog would like to be in the timed run, you the registration deadline is 9:30 of that day, which is this Sunday.
So get on it.
Get on it. Well, and we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth there, and we've got some great free raffles giving away a week's worth of raw food to your dog by the Natural Pet Pantry, which is a great locally made raw food diet. They have a really, really great selection, wide variety of different formulas, and they even have specialty formulas. Like they have a diabetic dog formula, They have a very bland diet for a dog that has an upset digestive tract. Mm. And they will even custom make a food for you.
Wow.
So she said they've had dogs that are allergic to carrots. So they'll make up the veggie mix without carrots or without beets or whatever, which is just, you know, that's hard to find that company that will personalize food for you. So
I've never heard of a carrot allergy. So.
I know.
Oh, we learn something new every
it's
day.
It's out there. So that's the natural pet pantry. We're going to have that food. We're also going to have 30-pound bags of Origin and a can of food, dry food to give away as well, which is my favorite dry food on the market. So, and it's a free raffle.
Perfect.
Yeah. So come by the booth. The Dog Talk Show booth will be there this Sunday at Seward Park for the Furry 5K. Now, the Furry 5K, just so you know what it raises money for, this is the big annual event that raises money for the Help the Animals Fund, which provides veterinary care and supplies for sick, injured, or abused shelter animals. And, I mean, always a year for that, but especially with this year with all of the puppy mill busts that are happening. There was one recently that happened, I think, within the last week or two that was, I've heard the worst yet as far as the condition of the dogs. And so they need your help. Every dollar counts. And the Seattle shelter takes in nearly 8,000 animals annually, and their annual vet expenses are approximately $100,000 a year. So it's a really, really great cause to support and a fun event. Lots of people. I think there's like thousands of people who show up. And it's supposed to be a little bit cooler this weekend, so it'll be easier on the dogs. So we have Brian on line one in Ballard. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Brian's scrambling to get to the phone.
Hi, Brian.
I got discombobulated.
Oh, thanks for calling in. Brian, are you there? I can hear him.
He's still scrambling there, but it looks like he's got a barking Aussie.
Yeah, it looks like we lost him.
And we lost Brian, okay.
Brian, give us a call back. We're here.
I think the barking Aussie got a hold of the phone.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Doesn't want his secrets out on the air.
Dog destroys cell phones. What do I do? So give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We're taking questions, free advice about anything dog-related, especially training behavior or nutrition food questions. But I'd just love to hear from anybody about anything dog-related. So give us a call, and we're giving away free bags of Bitta Love treats and Metau dog treats to our callers.
Do we have more on the calendar, or can I ask a question?
We do have more on the calendar.
Okay, let's go to the calendar and finish and then I'll come back with my question.
Okay, so this weekend for a 5K, we've got the Westie Walk happening Saturday, June 27th, rain or shine. That's at Marymore Park in Redmond. 100% of all the funds go to Westie Rescue. And you can visit www.westiemed.org, westiemed.org for more information. $15 per dog for registration. Please pre-register if possible. And you can also email kparish@widby.com, like Whidbey Island. So that's an event for the Westie Rescue, one of Seattle purebred rescue clubs. We have a dock diving dogs event, and I have some vouchers to give away to anybody who is interested in giving their dog a shot at dock diving. The Mill Creek Festival, which is July 18th and 19th from 10 to 6 p.m., is an event. Puget Sound Dock Dogs will be there. It's $20 to give your dog a go at running down a dock and jumping into a pool of water and having that jump measured. Really, really fun event if your dog loves water and will chase a ball or training dummy or something, you know, stick into the water. This is an event for you. I've got some vouchers here. So if you would like a free turn with your dog at the dock diving event at the Mill Creek Festival, July 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., give us a call and I'll give it to you. I'll send it out to you. 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And one more announcement. We have we had Kat Albrecht with Missing Pet Partnership on the show a few weeks ago, and she is holding a Lost Pet Seminar at the University Canine Learning Academy June 27th, Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. This is a great, great seminar. Lots of information about what to do if your pet, dog, or cat goes missing. She is just a wealth of information. She's written a book called The Lost Pet Chronicles. It's a great book, and I highly recommend the seminar, especially as it is just before the 4th of July, which is the day that most pets go missing because they get freaked out by fireworks. That, again, is Saturday, June 27th from 1 to 3 p.m., and to register, you can call UCLA, University Canine Learning Academy, 253-708-3297, or visit missingpetpartnership.org for more information about that. She's got some other talks coming up, too. So Eric, you had a question?
Well, we're actually due for a break, so maybe we should get that break out of the way and then come back and get to that question. And I think we've got some callers calling in,
that
too.
That sounds
so
great.
We'll get to our callers' questions. And if you've got a question out there for Julie, we'd love to hear from you at 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Armadillo Consignment is Seattle's only consignment store that uses an automatic markdown system. The longer it stays, the less you pay. Stocking only ready-to-use, value-priced, moderate-to-high-end furniture, clothing, and housewares, Armadillo Consignment has over 3,500 items in the store. Located in Seattle's Broadview neighborhood on the corner of 125th and Greenwood, Armadillo Consignment has great deals on quality, gently used items. Visit armadilloconsignment.com for more information. Armadillo Consignment. The longer it stays, the less you pay.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Can music heal our bodies? Patricia Herlevi says yes. Join us on the next Conversations Live for Music Consciousness, The Power to Heal.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Are you suffering from neck pain, back pain, headaches, numbness, and tingling? At Favreau Chiropractic, you have the opportunity to experience healthcare's leading form of spinal rehabilitation that has been proven to relieve pain and permanently realign your spine. Located in Seattle's Madison Valley neighborhood, Favreau Chiropractic offers a comprehensive service that goes far beyond cracking your back. Visit www.favchiro.com or call 206-726-9595. That's FAVCHIRO.com. A different approach to chiropractic.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well,
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we have Tracy on line one in Redmond. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
I just have a quick question. I have two Havanese puppies, and I'm getting mixed information, one from a trainer that we took them to and one from my vet, about changing the dog's diet. The trainer we went to said you should vary the dog's diet, not keep them on one food so that they don't doesn't create allergies. And my vet said you absolutely should not be changing your dog's diet on, I wouldn't say a regular basis, but on a somewhat, every few months. You shouldn't do that to the dogs because it is not good for them. So I would value your opinion on that.
An excellent question. Thanks for calling in. So my opinion is that dogs were not designed like us, same with us. We're not designed to eat the same thing every day for their entire life. And it's my understanding that when the pet food industry emerged about 100 years ago, all of the diets were chicken and rice. So it had sort of a similar form to the dry food that you buy in a bag now.
Right.
And so they had this chicken and rice food, and that was what the dogs ate. And they were on that food for a while, a few years. And then after some time went by, the dogs started developing an allergy to the food. And so the industry came out with lamb and rice food. Because of to have an alternate protein. So it's my understanding that dogs can develop an allergy when fed the same thing day in and day out for years. And
right.
To me, it doesn't make sense that as animals, especially as omnivores, that they were designed to eat the same thing every day. I would think that variety would be a good thing. Of course, a variety of the highest quality food. And all dogs are different. So, there are individual cases where maybe the dog does have an exceptionally sensitive digestive tract and has specific dietary needs. But I would say, generally speaking, it's a good idea to vary the food that you give, vary the protein. Like with my dogs, I rotate. They eat a raw food diet mixed in with Origin dry food. But I rotate the raw through different proteins just about every week to keep them, to give them some variety. So sometimes they get chicken, sometimes they get beef, sometimes they get venison, like that. So I recommend switching. And
venison?
Mm-hmm, yeah, there's all sorts of different types of
protein. Primarily because I noticed that they were having a little bit of a stomach upset, and the amount of poop was with two puppies was a little much.
Well, what are you feeding them now?
Well, I don't remember the name of it. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't remember the name, but it's a very high quality venison, and it's wheat-free.
Okay.
Wheat-free food.
Okay. Some of those the pet food industry is tricky. And it's great that you knew to look for a wheat-free food. Some of those foods, though, they can be a little bit misleading, and then there's also individual preference. So I would be really interested if you'd like to send me an email once you have the name of the food. I'd be happy to let you know what I think of it and why based off of the list of ingredients, because that's really what there is. And the biggest thing to look at, really, if you're, if you're an expert in pet food, you're ultimately an expert in pet poop. Because it's such an indication of how the food is being digested. So if you're seeing a lot of stool, lots of volume, then that indicates that there's a lot of the food that's not being absorbed into the body. So I'd be interested to look at the brand. Maybe it's an individual thing. It's a good quality food, but it might not be the best fit for your dogs.
Right, and that's where we're trying to find between them having little sensitive stomachs because they're so little, to also finding, a high quality that they don't necessarily poop all the time, especially with two puppies when I'm potty training, which they're doing a lot better now. But it is one of the things we were looking at. But it's not from a, one of the big sort of supermarket types.
Right, yeah.
It's a smaller place that only sells the high quality, and they also sell raw food. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it is, but I would love to send you an email and find out your opinion.
Yeah, let me know. You know, I'd love to take a look at the food. I can look up the ingredients on the internet. And so do you live in Redmond then?
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
So I know that All the Best Pet Care in Redmond carries both Origin and a can of dry foods, as well as the Natural Pet Pantry raw food.
Right.
So those would be two that I would recommend that you try. Now, anytime that you do switch foods, you do want to go slow. So
right.
As I do recommend variety as dogs can tolerate it, it's still a good idea, especially as you're getting a sense for how well the dogs tolerate transition, to go very slow when you switch and only switch one thing at a time.
Right. And we've obviously had to do that in order not to upset their stomachs,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, to find the right food for this breed that we've never had before is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com.
Great.
And I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye.
Great questions.
Excellent question. A question about food is never a quick question for me, because it's a can of worms, but that was a really great question. And it's hard because, you know, a lot of people do have differing opinions, and there's not always one right answer for these types of things. And really what it comes down to is the dog as an individual, just like people. Some mm-hmm. people can't tolerate this or can't tolerate that, and right. other people can. So it's a matter of finding the best fit for the individual. But I do have experience with lots of dogs, and I know what brands tend to work the best. So
very good.
Excellent question.
Well, I had a question
yes.
For you. I'm calling in, so maybe I can get the bit of love.
Yes.
My question, I don't own a dog at the moment. I'd like to get a dog eventually. But when I had a dog, though, years back, it was a great dog named Duke, and he didn't have a problem with barking, but a couple of our neighbors kind of had problems with dogs that tend to, like, yap all night, barking all night. And I'm wondering, if you've got a dog that barks a lot, seemingly randomly, what do you do about that? Is there a way to break them of that habit? Or are certain breeds more prone to that sort of thing than others?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Care
to elaborate?
That's it. Time for a break. No. Certain breeds, I think, are more prone to barking than others. Or I should say, more accurately, certain breeds are known for not barking, because that's really more of the exception, I think, is dogs that don't necessarily bark as much or aren't that vocal.
Uh-huh.
And then so much of it is individual as well. But for a dog that was barking like excessively, I would be interested. You know, the questions that I would ask would be, one is exercise and interaction. Because I've talked before about, and this is a big, big sort of widespread, and this can apply to a lot of different behavioral things, but does the dog have a constructive outlet for his or her energy?
Mm.
So, and if they don't, then they'll find a destructive outlet for it.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, the dog's all pent up and maybe isn't getting out as much as they should, or not getting enough exercise, or
not getting to the furry 5K.
Exactly. Yep. Not participating in that. You know, that energy has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times barking is one of those ways. Chewing is another one, where they'll just, you know, tear stuff up because they are pent up, and, you know, that energy has to go somewhere. So you want to make sure that the dog's needs are being met energetically. Exercise and mental stimulation is really important. Dogs are intelligent, social creatures, and they have been bred to do something and perform some task. And so if they're not getting fulfilled in that way, then oftentimes we see problem behaviors crop up just because they're not getting their needs met.
Makes sense.
You know, it depends on if they're barking at certain things, or, you know, you've had the experience where a dog was barking all night long?
Yeah, well, maybe not all night long, but, you know, for like an hour, just
in the middle of the night,
yapping. Yeah, late at night.
Huh. I mean, you'd think that would not be pleasant for the people who lived with the dog.
No, it certainly wasn't pleasant for their neighbors either.
No. Well, there's, I guess, some people who have a night shift maybe, and they weren't home,
uh-huh.
or they were out late. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, and that's that's a tricky situation because, you know, it's someone else's dog and people can get easily defensive when when approached about their dogs. But, you know, on the flip side of that, if you have a dog who barks and neighbors complain, sometimes neighbors can complain maybe a little too soon or, you know, the dog's just barking naturally because that is what they do. But if it's excessive, a good thing to do is to involve the person who has the complaint and just ask them to keep a log of when the dog is barking and when they start, when they stop, to get that kind of information. And one, it's good information to have so that the behavior can be assessed. And it's also good to involve the neighbor so that they feel like they're being a part of the solution as well, which can just help with the relationship. So,
well, okay. So what about if you're looking for a breed of dog that is not a real big barker? Are there certain breeds out there that are less prone to barking a lot?
Yeah, you know, I just learned recently from a breeder that the dog called a Japanese Chin, which is a little, looks like a, sort of like a Papillon, but with a Preston, like brachycephalic, so it's a Preston nose, like a Pug or Boston Terrier, but not a bull breed. So they have that more like a Pekingese little Preston face. They're really cute. She said that they are not really barkers. They'll bark if, you know, but they don't sort of carry on like some other little dogs can. Quiet breeds, I think Basenjis are you know, known to be sort of barkless dogs. And then otherwise, it's sort of individual temperament.
Yeah, like I say, I had a mutt who was a great dog, and he didn't bark a lot. He would bark occasionally just to maybe just to even test it out and make sure he could still do it, but it was pretty rare. And I think occasionally he would even like tell the other dogs on the other sides that were barking to keep it down. He would occasionally get this one real kind of fierce bark, and then they would kind of hush up for a bit.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an individual thing for sure. So we are taking questions, anything dog training, behavior, or nutrition related, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Call in with any dog-related questions. We'll send you out a free bag of Bit O' Love training treats. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, BC, courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online. Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Today we are taking calls from listeners with any questions dog-related. If you have a dog who pulls on leash, or perhaps you have a dog that is hard to control when you have visitors, or maybe you have a question about food. I'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
And I did have a dog that was a real leash puller. He really liked taking walks. He really did. I found the best way to deal with him was to just walk him until he was exhausted. But he was always happy about it, you know. He was glad when he got home, especially to get his bowl of water and all that. But it was funny because he would start off pulling me, and I thought I should get skates and just let him let him pull me down the street. And then by the time we get home, he would be like dragging behind me a little bit. So
wear him out.
Yeah,
I've seen some people who actually would be on a skateboard or rollerblades and have their dogs pulling them, which makes me nervous to see that.
Yeah,
especially like around Green Lake, because I mean it's great exercise for the dog, but
what happens when duck crosses their
exactly.
path?
And totally, or squirrel or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Person goes flying. It's definitely one of the most common things that I work with people about is walking on leash, and it's one of the most fundamental things to get a handle on. Especially related to training and behavior, because really what it is establishing focus and getting the dog with you.
Mm-hmm.
If your dog is just pulling you down the street or, you know, lunging here and there, not only is it an undesirable behavior and potentially dangerous for their neck, but it also means that they're just not with you. They're
right.
not walking with you. I mean, physically, but also mentally. So learning how to establish focus with dogs so that it's kind of like, oh, hi. Yeah, I'm here too. Remember me? Like, I'm not just a weight at the end of the leash.
Uh-huh.
And that's one reason why I have a hard time with the retractable leashes, is where it extends out 26 feet. And then, you know, there's no connection between the person and the dog. And it also can be unsafe in crowded environments, especially like Green Lake, for instance, or really anywhere that there's other people and dogs, because respecting other people's space is important when you have a dog, and especially with other people with other dogs too, which I've talked about before. But you know, it's a great thing to establish is a working relationship with your dog. It's so natural between dogs and people.
Well, how do you develop that sort of thing so that they aren't just yanking your arm off as, you know, you take them for the walk, or yanking their neck off, I guess, as the case could be?
Well, with a flat collar, if they're just pulling into it, which most dogs will, it can cause tracheal damage on the front of the neck.
Yeah.
You know, with dogs, their neck, especially lower down on the neck and shoulders, is where they're the most powerful.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about So some people will put their dogs in harnesses, which does a great job of protecting the neck, but doesn't necessarily deter pulling, because if you want a dog to pull something, you put them in a harness to do that. I mean, if you look at sled dogs or weight pulling dogs or cart pulling dogs, they're all, they pull in a harness because they want that weight to hit their shoulders. So I have found to be the most effective thing, and this is controversial for sure. Lots of people have strong opinions about this, but what I have found to be the most effective way is to use a training collar that protects the neck as well as gets the dog's attention when they pull, so that they have some awareness of where the end of the leash is, and so that when they pull, you can give the leash a little pop with your hand that just kind of like lets them know, hey, you hit the end of the leash, I'm here on the opposite end. And you know that that is effective when, with whatever you're using, if what you do gets the dog's attention, because that's really the intention of any kind of correction, is not as a punishment, but it gets the dog's attention. So usually what they'll do is they'll look at you, and you can tell intuitively that it's gotten their attention. So that's how you can, you know, if your dog just keeps pulling and you keep trying to pop the leash, then you're probably not using the right tool or not snapping it effectively. Or, and I found changing directions quickly is a great way to get the dog's focus on you, because they're just kind of walking, and if they start to get ahead of you, you just kind of like pivot, take off in the other direction, and they hit the end of the leash, you give it a little pop, and then they look at you and you say, let's go, and you go the other way. And if you just do that back and forth, I found it quickly gets dogs to pay attention if the correction is effective. And again, the intention of that is to get the dog's attention.
So then they realize that you're leading the way rather than them.
Yeah. And that's important with any behavioral issues on leash. You know, dogs lunging and barking at when you see another dog is probably the most common thing. And dogs will do that who are totally friendly with other dogs.
Yeah.
My dog goes to the dog park or has lots of dog friends or goes to daycare and they're fine. But when we put them on leash, they act like, you know, they're displaying and acting like they're wanting to kill the other dog. And it's not making sense. And it's actually a pretty common behavior, and probably one of the most easily and quickly corrected. So, and that's something too that I've noticed, that there's a lot of behaviors that people get kind of resigned about. And I think this is true with a lot of things. I think it's true with health. You know, I have a lot of advertisers on the show, supporters of the show, that are healthcare practitioners for people as well. And, you know, I think people get used to symptoms and used to a certain way of being and not really even thinking that something can be improved upon when it actually can, whether it's a chiropractor, acupuncturist, or naturopath, or, you know, whatever the best fit is. And it's similar with dog training and behavior too, is that people just learn to live with it. And it, as frustrating as it may be on a daily basis, they don't think that it's something that can be improved upon. And it often can be, and in a lot of cases, it often can be very quickly. So even if you think you have just a little quirky question, nagging thing, or, you know, whatever it is, training, behavior, or nutrition related, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some free bags of Bitto Love treats as well as bags of Metau Dog treats to send to you for your call. That number is 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So some information for our listeners too. There is a wonderful business out there called Healing Allies, and that's HEELINGALLIES, Healing Allies. And the owner is Darcy Bolts, and they train clinical therapy dogs for healthcare practitioners who wish to incorporate a therapy dog into their practice. So you might be a dentist or a doctor or a therapist who wants to use a dog in your practice almost like a staff member to either improve environment or facilitate therapy.
Okay.
And this has been measured in studies, pretty well established, that the presence of an animal really makes a difference for people. It puts people at ease. It lowers blood pressure. There have been measurable results in that.
So they're not administering the Novocaine.
No,
they're just they're just there to make people feel more comfortable.
Hold still.
but is that sanitary though? I mean, there's a question, because we don't allow dogs in the store unless they're like seeing eye dogs or whatever.
Yes,
for that reason.
So there's ways that, and that would be a question. We're going to have Darcy on the show coming up soon. But like, for instance, they bring therapy dogs into hospitals, and there's ways that they can have the dogs interact with the patients to keep the environment as clean as possible. Typically, I think what people will do with the therapy dog in a clinic is have the dog in a certain area. So if somebody has an allergy, they have like an allergy free area that they can be, but the overall benefit to having a dog present is just really great if you're going to a doctor or dentist and the person might be nervous, or, you know, then it's a great way to kind of make that environment easier.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we have Patty on line two.
Yeah, we need just a second here. Should we take our break here and get that out of the way and then come back with
break.
Patty?
Yes, sounds great. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, now at its new time, Wednesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, BC, courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online. The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have Patty in Seattle on line two. Hi, Patty.
Hi there. I was calling. I have several dogs, And one of them, several months ago, got into some brownie mix and some chocolate chip cookie mix and ate it dry. Mm-hmm. And he was fine, but I believe that that was maybe what did it. He now has started eating dog poop, which he never did before, and I was wondering what I could do to maybe get him to stop that.
And how old is your dog?
Spencer is probably 9.
9 years old, and...
He's a Shih Tzu Cocker mix.
Okay, and he got into the brownie mix how long ago?
It was several months ago. It was, I'm going to say maybe 6 months ago. I don't really remember.
Okay. And so you're thinking that he...
I'm thinking that that may have done something to his system to maybe change the balance of the system or something so that he now wants to... I have several dogs, so he will just, you know, go around and pick up after them, and he never used... That wasn't a behavior I had noticed before. And maybe that's not why, but that's what I'm thinking.
You know, I wonder if eating all of that brownie mix and cookie mix made his poop smell different.
Well, that's what I wondered, too, because I have a very poor sense of smell, but even I could smell it.
Yeah, so then he was like... His. It's almost like it smelled like a cookie, and he was like, ooh...
Yeah, well, yes, and I have, apparently, through an animal communicator, he really thinks it's... I've asked him to please stop, but he really thinks it's delicious.
Well, yeah. And it, unfortunately, as sort of gross it is to us, it's not the most unnatural behavior from a dog.
And I do understand that.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that you can do. There's some supplements. There's some marketed specifically for this. It's called coprophagia. Poop eating.
Do you know how to spell that?
I believe it's C-O-P-R-O P-H-A-G-I-A.
Okay.
And
it's a pill?
And it's a... because that is what poop eating is called. It's kind of like the term for it.
Okay.
So it's a supplement for that. I've also heard that B vitamins, like a B complex vitamin...
Okay.
Makes poop taste not so great. And... I've also heard that meat tenderizer, if you put that in the dog's food, that can make it not taste that great. The other thing you can do is try to get it so that the lawn has plenty of selection and then go and put some sort of taste deterrent, actually spray it on the poop and then let him out. And he's going to think, ooh, you know, it's like a buffet.
Yeah.
And then go and find that it doesn't taste that great.
Okay. Like, what do you think I should spray on it? Hot sauce or something? Or?
Diluted hot sauce. You want to be careful. It's effective, but you want to be careful that you're not going to hurt them with it.
Yeah.
Vinegar
Vinegar would be good.
Yeah. Even I've heard rum is a good taste deterrent, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. And, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I have 5 dogs at home, and so there is an assortment. So, I will go ahead and try one or more of those things to stop.
The other thing that you could look at would be diet, and if you'd like to send me an email and let me know what you're feeding the dogs, it may be that his body's telling him that he's not getting something.
I change their food regularly, and it's usually food from, like, All the Best or Next to Nature or Horizon Pets, and it's really only the very best quality, along with some natural food, like the Pet Pantry, et cetera, or dried natural food, too, I like.
Right. Yeah, so it sounds like with the timing, it was probably that his poop started tasting like fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies. So.
Yeah, I kind of think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call, Patty.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I can't believe you need a taste deterrent to get them to not think poop is delicious.
Well, especially cat
poop. I guess
poop.
That's because we're humans, you know.
Yes.
We have a different set of taste buds, let's put it that
way. Well, we have Cheryl on line one in Seattle. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Julie.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is about leash aggression. I heard you say it's an easy thing to cure, and I know it's a... You know, I'm a dog walker, so I hear a lot of people with that issue.
Yep.
How do you cure it?
Well, there's always individual variation, but there's a few things. It's typically towards other dogs, which is, you know. So teaching a dog to walk on a loose leash and to focus on you is the first step. So you'd want to establish that without the presence of the distraction first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And teach the dog how to walk on leash. Because if the dog is just kind of crazy on leash anyway, then you need to establish that foundation of training first.
Okay.
And then once you get that solid and the dog learns to focus on you without any distractions, then you can start practicing with distractions. So starting to take them out to areas where there are other dogs around. I've found the best thing to do is to sort of ease them into it, depending on how intense it is, and maybe get a friend who has a dog who can just bring their dog, you know, meet you somewhere or come to your neighborhood and bring their ideally sort of mellow dog that's not going to talk back and just have it be there. Because one of the problems with leash aggression is that, you know, you pass a dog, the dog gets all fired up and lunges and barks and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, the interaction's over. So you never have an opportunity for the dog that is the distraction to just sort of stay there and to be able to work through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that it never gets resolved. The dog gets amped up and then the dogs pass and then it's over and you don't get that opportunity to stay in the interaction and work the dog through it and teach them how to get a hold of themselves and to calm down still in the presence of what got them amped up.
Yeah.
Structure is really important. So,
okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Physically, where the dog is. You know, if the dog has leash aggression with other dogs, don't let the dog walk ahead of you, because mm-hmm. then physically they're going to feel like they're the ones who have to deal with anything. So they're going to be way more likely to act out as a defense.
Yeah.
Because you can tell the dog all day long, don't worry about it, I got it. But if they're the one actually physically out there to meet anything that might come your way, they're not going to buy it. So
right.
Teaching your dog to walk at your side so that you're physically in a position of leadership on a loose leash. I found squirt bottles work really well for leash aggression because
okay.
it tends to put the fire out.
Yes.
With some dogs, giving them a leash and collar correction can snap them out of it. But with a lot of dogs, that can actually amp them up. So if they're already really amped up and agitated, if you go and kind of give them a snap with the leash, it's just going to kind of fire them up even more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like a squirt bottle for dogs that don't like that, it can really do a good job of interrupting that behavior in a way that more, like I said, kind of puts the fire out as opposed to adding fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining calm is so important, and this is hard for people whose dogs start to act aggressive towards other dogs, is that then the person sees another dog coming down the street and then we tense up. So
yeah.
we, you know, in the, all those little things, dogs are so sensitive to our nonverbal communication. So maybe we tense up on the leash or we hold our breath or, you know, I mean, we could smell different for all, you know, as far as the
right.
dogs are concerned. And they pick up on all of that. So learning how to walk the dogs, to have control, to establish that leadership. And that's why it's important to work with the dog without the distraction first, so that the person and the dog develop a sort of confidence in the working relationship
mm-hmm.
and then start working with the dog around the distraction and then working them through it. So like I said, having somebody come so that you can just walk the dog back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and have the dog that's the distraction just kind of hang out in one spot and you don't stop until the dog gets over it, basically.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, and if you have further questions, feel free to get in touch outside of the show, host@dogtalkshow.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, we are at the end of the show. Time flies when you're talking dog. So I hope to see you this weekend. Come by the booth. We're going to be at the Furry 5K at Seward Park this Sunday. The race starts at 10 a.m., Sunday the 7th at Seward Park. Look for the Dog Talk Show booth. We're going to have free raffles for some great food. We'll have our stickers, of course, to give away. And it's a great fundraiser for the Help the Animals Fund to help support shelter animals and to keep them healthy so that they have a better chance of being adopted out. Visit the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com, to listen to archived shows in the podcast section. And that is, like I said, www.dogtalkshow.com. If you missed any shows, if you're a new listener and you'd like to hear past shows, you can click on any past show online and it'll just start to play. and go out there and enjoy the sun. And be remember, too, that cars get hot real fast. So don't let your dog sit in a hot car at all. Be really, really careful about that. It's really hot out there. And we hope to see you this weekend. Thanks for listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. I'm Julie Forbes, and this is the Dog Talk Show.